This is an honor. It is. It's a pain in the neck, but it's an honor.
You
shouldn't say it like that.
You're good.
Joshua 24, verse 11. When you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, the citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites,
all the ites,
the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornets ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also, the two Amorite kings, you did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from their vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all your faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers, worship beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us into the land of our fathers up out of Egypt, from that land of slavery, and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us in our entire journey and among all the nations through which we have traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord, because he is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end to you after he has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you, and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." On that day, Joshua made a covenant to the people, and then at Shechem, he drew up for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak tree near the holy place of the Lord. "See," he said to the people, "this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all of the words of the Lord, and it has said to us, 'It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to God.'" Then Joshua sent the people away, each to his own inheritance.
Good. Very good.
Praise be the Lord of God.
Excellent. You done good. There's so much in there. So much in there. I love the one that says right there in the beginning, all those ites. He said, "I gave them into your hands." This is verse 11. Verse 12, "I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you." How many people here, without saying out loud, how many people know what the hornet is? Okay, about a half a dozen of you. What's the hornet, Corey girl?
Jesus. Do you ever think Jesus is being called the hornet? I had one the other day flying around my face. You know, it was like coming around and like, I ain't scared of you. Could you imagine the hornet coming after you? I mean, that's crazy. But that's what he did. And Jesus can do the same thing for you. He can drive all the fears, all the stuff that's in your life, just drive it away because he is who he says he is. We're going to talk a little bit about that scripture and we'll kind of go from there. All right, kids, you can get out of here. All right. Boom, check it on. Ding, 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 ding. Isn't she getting big? Jeez, oh man. Aren't you getting big? That would be different for you. I don't want to say that. All right. Please remember to take the bulletin home. The people on the prayer list are there for a reason. I'd like you to remember to pray at home for Lydia. She comes here. She works in the doctor's office, and she's not feeling well. So she asked if we would pray for healing, and I just told her that prayer costs a lot of money, so we'll see. But please remember to pray for our country, pray for our communities, pray for our police officers, pray for the people who are in government that they would be wise, pray for our president, pray for the country, pray for Israel, okay? Remember that. We don't take really prayer requests. If you want a specific to go on the bulletin, just write it on a note and stick it up on the back of the cross back there, and we'll get it in there, all right? Difficult times today, aren't they? But hey, we know whom we've believed in. We're persuaded that he is able to keep what we've committed to him against that day. So with that in mind, we just want to continue to remember the concerns that we have for today. John, you feel up to it, brother? Stand up. Somebody can see you.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you first and foremost for bringing us all together again safely, Lord, to worship, to hear your word, to grow in you, Lord. It's the opportunity. We pray for the administration, Lord, that's set over the country, that you would guide them in wisdom. Seems like he's just having trouble with every term. So I just ask that you stand in with him, keep him in the pain up there, keep him big for as long as you're going to use this president, Lord, okay, for our Congress and the Senate. It just seems to be so out of control, so filled with chaos and grief these days, Lord. I don't even know if I did right to even pray to ask you to fix it. Lord, you did say these things were going to be. So I just ask, Lord, that you would be with those that are yours, that are called by your name. And the rest, Lord, I guess it's for you to filter out. Heavenly Father, I ask that you watch over our police officers, Lord, as they go out to protect and serve.
Jesus.
99 out of 100 of them, Lord, would give their life for everyone in this room. We have bad people all across the board, Lord. So I pray and ask that you watch over them as the struggle is getting more and more real. The value of their life seems to be less and less. Just put a hedge of protection around them, their families, their children want them to come home. Mm-hmm. Their wives want to see them at home. So we ask that you just protect them out there in the streets,
Jesus.
Lord. Pray that you would continue to silence or snuff the violence of anarchy. Chaos isn't something that you are, Lord. You're a God of order. So in this chaos, it's just, it's not you, it's not your footprint. Pray that it would be stamped out. Pray that your Lord hits your word hits our hearts this morning, Lord, to teach it and just to help us grow. I think David said something last week at Bible study, Lord, that really sank home with me. You told us it was going to be this way. So I don't know why we're so baffled and perplexed. You did say it was all going to end. It has to. Everything's going to be new. Nothing is going to be left here. Not an element on this earth will be here when you are done. So is it coming towards an end? Yes, it is. Let us be responsible in what you told us, and that is to tell the world that you live, you love, and you forgive, and that there is no greater name under heaven than the one
Amen.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We praise
yes,
you,
Lord.
And
yes,
we look to you for all our things.
Yeah.
Amen.
Ooh, I think we're just prayed for. I think we just prayed for. Very good. I only have one thing to say about that, you know, because he did mention about it's written saying it was going to happen. That doesn't mean God's making it happen. And as long as I'm alive, I'm going to be proclaiming Jesus and telling the joy that we can have in salvation. And so if they want to come out and try to stop that over my dead body, right?
Amen.
There you go. All right, I need a couple of people. I actually need four. Who wants to come and do it? Let's see, we got Charles, we got, because this is the last Sunday of the month, and the last Sunday of the month we have our, the first offering is for the church, the next offering is for missions, okay? Gold is church, gold is church, gold is church. And then we have a bunch of people in the missions that the people that we support here. All right. Thank you, man. Awesome. You may be seated. Steve, you're going to be doing this on the 19th, is that right? The 19th. So stick around. Steve Carlson is going to, he's spoken before here, and I'm looking forward. If you have anything, a text or any subject, I know you want us to build songs around, we customize just for you, pal. All right? Sounds good. Excellent. So my son will be, I'll be here next week, but then it'll be three Sundays. You got to still come. Steve will have a broken heart if you don't show up, okay? I didn't have another video. I don't have another song because I just want to kind of get to it, the 4th of July, the 4th of July. I was thinking about this. I mean, how would you like to have been part of that gig back there in that day, huh? How many of you were just like, yeah, send me back there. I'll be part of the revolution. Galen would, yeah, exactly, he would.
He's smiling again.
I mean, could you imagine, yeah, he's smiling. Could you imagine how fearful it must have been? I mean, you never knew whether your neighbor was on your side or the other side. You never knew when somebody in the middle of the night was going to come and just burn your house down and kill you. I mean, there was a lot of fear that was going on back then. But we were building something. We're trying to build a nation that was independent of tyranny and slavery, and we wanted to be our own people. I had Dan read from Joshua all the way back in chapter 24 because it's a good start of another time when a revolution was taking place. And I'd like you to open up your Bibles, if you don't mind, to chapter 24. We're going to have a couple of things here that I see standing out. So what we're trying to do here with Joshua 24 and then in Acts chapter 5, we're going to show a couple of things here and do a little parallel to see where we are today, okay? How would you have liked to have been back with the Israelites? I mean, the average lifespan back there, I'm not really sure. I think it was probably young. I think it was like 50, 40 years old during the time of the slaves in Egypt. And here they're led out into the desert. They had been slaves for over 400 years. That's all they knew. I mean, our country's only a little over 200 years old. And so could you imagine knowing nothing but slavery for generation after generation after generation after generation? And now all of a sudden you're free. And not only are you free, you are walking out with all the goodies from Egypt. In other words, they want to get rid of you so bad because of the 10 plagues that God laid on Egypt. They're throwing gold and ornaments. And as we talked about this at Flap, they're throwing you all that. Get out. Go. I mean, people are handing the Israelites the swords. Just get out of here. Go. And they left. Well, it's interesting that it says in the Bible that they marched out of Egypt boldly. You know, they're pretty arrogant at that point. But the first time they saw a little cloud of dust over on the Egyptian chariots coming bearing down on them, they turned chicken right then and there. I told this story several times this week. They get up against the Red Sea. I think that was a Mediterranean Sea. It doesn't matter. We'll talk about that some other time. But they got up against the sea. This was not just a mud patch. You see, a lot of people will try to say that that didn't really happen. It was just a tide that went out. No. And Moses is facing with all these people, upwards of 2 million people, some people say, up against water. And then they see the clouds of the chariots of the Egyptians coming down on them. And they realize they're in a heap of trouble. And so Moses, get this, Moses, just pretend I'm Moses. He's standing on this, if you remember the movie, standing on this big rock overlooking the water, you know. And he starts to do something. What do you think he starts to do? He starts to pray. And he starts to talk to God. He starts to talk out loud to himself and his people. And God goes, "Hey, what are you doing? Strike the water!" I had to remind some people that. So there's times when praying doesn't work. There's time when you're not supposed to pray. There's a time you're supposed to do something. And Moses is not supposed to stand there and talk, strike the water. And he did, and the water parts. But none of the people who are now in the desert, who are dropping like flies, can remember that because they're dying off because of the sin. They got out into the desert and they lived there in the heat, sustained only by the miracles of God with food and water, as every one of them, because of their sin, they died on the way, their bodies left in the sand. God brings them up to the Jordan River. And he says, "Okay, Moses, your turn is done. We're going to let Joshua take over from here." This is just a lot of quick Bible history here. Joshua says, "Okay, we're going to go." We know that in the story that the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they ended up stepping into the water. Remember that story? They stepped into the water, the Jordan River. What happened when they stepped into the water? After they stepped, water parted. I think God likes that little trick. They walked across and they went right into the promised land that God said that he was going to deliver them, with Joshua leading the way. And then they come up against this town. Remember the first town? What was it? Josh, if it's the battle at Jericho. Yeah. And we know what happened there. One by one, as they're going through the desert, and now into the land, in through different towns, as they're moving, God is giving them victory. He sent them the hornet. He said, "Look, you're not going to have to do anything but just march around. Just have faith. Trust me. I brought you this far. Just trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me." Now Joshua's getting old. A lot of battle stories. A lot of nights around the campfire just telling things the way it happened. Children of Israel end up taking the land. They're going into the place. They still don't have all of it yet, but they have most of it. Some of the tribes who decided to make a deal with God and stay on the east side of the Jordan, they're getting ready to be sent home. Joshua says, "Now it's time for us to kind of have a little discussion. You're going to have to pick who you're going to serve. You're going to have to pick your God. Because right now, I'm telling you, we have a problem." And they're going, "What?" "Yeah, we have a problem. You are personally going to have to choose who your God is. Because I know something here. Take a look at this. He says, you are now to fear the Lord in verse 14 and serve him with all faithfulness. Note the word all. Not partial. All. Now, if I step on your toes, I'm just going to say, God expects the same thing from you. How much does God want from you? Everything. He wants you to serve him in all faithfulness. Were they? Well, look at the next sentence. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. What?
In other words, you've been marching through these deserts through generations of until everybody's dead. And what are they carrying with them behind their back? They're holding on to the security of the gods that their fathers brought back out of Egypt. They're still doing it.
What, us? No, we're following Joshua.
Yeah, right. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. And this is the fun for me. I mean, this is what I've been in that spot where I've kind of had double gods. I didn't have a god that I bowed down to like that, but I had things that were important to me. Money, possessions, stuff that always seemed to get in the way. And one by one, God just kind of took and broke me over the years. Because sometimes it takes a long time. But I can tell you right now, I don't have any more. That was then. And this is now. I made a commitment to my wife. I said, you know what? I'm going to start taking it a little easier. And I want to just share this with you. I apologize to you because I know sometimes I get rather intense. Like Boy Scouts, I get intense. You know, I take my job really seriously. And so when I know that you're in an area there that it's slavery to you, or you're having a problem within your family or your work or something, and you tell me, I know the Word of God and I know what He wants, and I know it. And so it's my job as the sheepdog to try to corral you and keep you in the pen, you know? And see, I take that really seriously, don't I, Corey? I take that really seriously. So seriously that sometimes I get rather intense and like, come on, man! Don't you get it? Step up in faith! Look what it did for me! And I can say, look what it did for me, man. I'm just like, yeah! I'm sitting on top of the mountain. I'm going, man, I only got here because I decided to drop all those gods that I was holding on to, and I'm just following Jesus. So I apologize in advance. I'm working on not taking it so personal. Because if you don't do what Jesus says to do, I feel like I got to tell you again and again and again and again. You know what? I'm just going to let that go. Okay? Is that all right? If you want to follow your other gods, go ahead. I'm going to stand over here and just kind of watch and go, whoops, slipping under again. Oh, that hurt. But I'm telling you what, man. I have been set free. I have been set free. You know how hard it is to raise kids? A bunch of you here have kids? I'm an expert at it. I got two of them here today, and the other two are in church somewhere else right now. I'm telling you, man, I know how it's done. So I'm not telling you because, you know, I'm being arrogant. I'm telling you because I learned the hard way. I learned the hard way. Just like Joshua did. But old Joshua, remember where he was? When Moses went to that tent of meeting, what was Joshua doing? He was right in there with him. When Moses went back to bed to go to sleep, Joshua stayed there right in the tent of meeting with God because that's where he knew his hope was. So he says, drop your gods. Let it go. And they said, okay, we will. And he said, really? Yeah, we will. Okay, here's what I'm going to do then. I'm going to bring this big old rock. Isn't that a big old rock? Now, I don't know if they moved it. And it's interesting. Steve can maybe tell you. It's there. Big old rock. Let this stone.
stone be a witness against you. A stone? How can a stone testify? I'd like you to give that some thought. Because Jesus said in the New Testament, when the people were singing and praising the Lord, they said, tell those kids to shut up. And Jesus said, if they stop singing, what? The very rocks will shout out. So yeah, the inanimate objects can tattle on you. So that little object that you're kind of holding on to just might be a problem. Mike got a brand new Honda truck. I'm envious. I'm jealous. But I'm not going to. But I know Mike enough that it's not going to make it. He's not going to make that his God. But man, the stuff that we have and collect can be a testament to us. I remember when we used to have a dog years ago. I looked at the dog and said, you're not going to tell on me, are you? You're laughing because you do the same thing, right? So they set up this stone and they're saying, we're going to go. But he had already said it, Joshua. He says, you're not going to be able to do this. So he wrote down all the decrees and the laws. He wrote them down and he collected them in. The Bible says he added them to the law of Moses. He added all these rules and regulations of you got to do this, do that, do this, do that, do this when, do that then. Don't do this, don't do that. Along with all the penalties, it says, if you obey me, then you're going to get these things. But if you disobey me, twice as much bad is going to happen to you. And if you want to read an R-rated, gross, disgusting, something that you would never allow your children to watch on TV, just open up the Bible to the book of Deuteronomy. It tells you exactly what happens. It's disgusting. Not because God wants it, but if you don't want him, he'll let you have the other. It doesn't work. So the children of Israel move in, they go to the land, and we know the story. They were told, they were told, they were shown, they were told, it was written down, they were told, it was written, it was spoken, it was sung, in every way, shape, and form. How'd they do?
They failed every time.
Failed every time. But we're going to kind of give them a pass. I'm glad. How many are glad that you weren't an Israelite back in those days? Woo, man! Because I'd have been the first one killed. Now we come to a time when Jesus Christ comes, and he didn't fool anybody. He told them long, and I mean hundreds of verses in the Bible talked about what was going to happen. Who he was going to be, where he was going to be born, what he was going to do. The Jews should have said, there he is. But they were blinded by their own desires. They didn't get it. So they crucify him. Can't keep a good God down, can you? Up he comes. And then you remember when a new beginning happens again, this time what is going to be born? The church. The church. And who does he pick? He picks people like John and Todd and Austin and Casey. But John and Peter, two, you know, fishermen. Peter's the gross one. Peter's the nasty whatever, pick up a sword, whatever. He was just very impetuous. Peter's really getting it, man, because now that he knows that Jesus is who he said he was and he experienced him in his life, now that he was in the upper room, now that he was there and the Holy Spirit fell, boom, how many knows what it's like to have the Holy Spirit in your heart? How many know what it's like to be free? That when God comes into your life, it's like, yes. See, the older I get, the more he's there. You know, because I'm not chasing him off. It's like, wow, I love this free feeling. I love knowing that you're there, that there's nothing I can do to separate me from you. So Peter and John are just getting into the business. If you want to open up your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. This will be your assignment. You can read that this week. Acts chapter 5 kind of starts off a little bit strange because there's no Bible as we know it in the New Testament. It hasn't been written yet. And so the Holy Spirit is giving gifts to men, gifts to people, and he's like, you're going to have the gift of prophecy. And what that means is that all the stuff that Paul and John and the folks are going to be writing, it's not written yet. The prophecy means that the Holy Spirit is going to tell these guys what to say in a church service. Got that? Which is really cool because they had the opportunity to speak in other languages. Because, you know, they would go to towns where people maybe spoke Italian. And, you know, old Peter, he was just a stupid fisherman. But he could stand up and he could prophesy telling perfect will of God in perfect Italian to people. Fascinating. The Holy Spirit was there. You could tell he would fall. He would have an altar call. And, I mean, it was like crammed up here. People came from all over. They got so arrogantly bold. Get this. They got so arrogantly bold. They had so many people. I mean, we said this last week. How many people were killed when the law was broken when they built that golden calf and Moses came down? How many people were killed? 3,000. The angel of the Lord went. Killed 3,000. After the Holy Spirit fell at Pentecost, which we just celebrated not long ago. After that Holy Spirit fell, Peter's like, the apostle on steroids. He just feels moved and he goes out into town and he starts preaching about the grace of God. That the Lamb of God, the Son of God, died for the sins. That you too can be born again, believe, and come up. If you would just give your life, give it to Him, exchange places, you can have a new life. And how many people came and got saved that first time he preached? 3,000. The law gives death. The Spirit gives what? Life. Now, here's an interesting thing that happens in chapter 5. It's really kind of cool, and I'm glad it doesn't happen again. I'm glad it's never happened since. They took an offering. Ananias and Sapphira, they joined voluntarily into kind of a commune. I'm not saying that that's how Christians are supposed to live. It's just the times were really tough and they were being persecuted by the Jews. But they were just kind of sharing food together and pulling everything together and taking care for one another. And apparently Ananias and Sapphira, they were property owners. And they decided they were going to sell this field over here for $10,000. They said, we're just going to give all $10,000 to the church. Which is okay. And then he went to the church and they dropped in two. And Peter said, how much did you say? And Ananias drops dead. His wife comes in as they're dragging him out of the back of the tent. Her wife comes in and they said, how much did you sell that for? She said, 2,000. Aren't you glad that doesn't happen today? Amen. Yeah. But the interesting thing is that was not to say that you got to give and that God's demanding your money because he owns it all already. All it is to say, look, if you're going to give yourself all faithfully to God, do what you say. Just do what you say. Do what God says to do and do what he says. Just do it. So now 3,000 people are saved and now they got to have a meeting. They got to have a meeting. They don't have room to have a meeting. They don't have big cathedrals. Like we saw that Dallas Baptist church when those people were singing. I mean, my goodness, could you imagine what it takes to make that kind of a project where all those people can fit inside, all those musicians and everything? They didn't have any place. So you know where they went? Right on top of the Temple Mount, right where the temple was. They went across the place to Solomon's porch, it was said. It's part of the tabernacle. They were just meeting over there. And you know what? The Jews were getting mad. The Pharisees were getting nuts. They were getting crazy because they're going over to our place and they're holding these private meetings and we don't like it. And thousands of people are coming together for church. And it says here that the Sadducees, you'll find it in chapter 5, were jealous. Jealous. They can't have this. This doesn't work. They don't like it. They don't want part of it. They got to stop it because you're taking away from my show. You're taking away from my livelihood. You know, my wife said something to me this last week because I have talked to pastors. I've talked to other leaders. I've seen what's going on around the country and I'm going out of my mind. It's like, what's the matter with you people? You're closing your church?
For a virus? There are people who will meet that if they accept Jesus Christ, they know the next thing that will happen in their life, Saudi Arabia, they're dead. And they do it anyway. I talked to a pastor this week. I said, would you like to join us? Look, I'm not telling you to do anything. Just join us up on the corner. Just join us up here. I just want to show you how easy it is and how much fun it is. We got Galen smiling. Black Lives Matter and those people over there have no signs. They don't know what they're talking about because I asked them. They don't get it. They don't know. What's your sign mean? I don't want to talk to you. Galen smiling. Jesus. Carla's singing, Jesus. Just come on out. We have signs for you. You don't have to do anything. No one's going to know your name. Just come on out and stand up for Jesus on the corner.
I haven't been led to do that by God. We're going to get together and pray.
The Bible says, go into the world and preach the gospel. Go into the world and preach the gospel. This is a get-together prayer meeting. It's to go into the world and preach the gospel. So we're going to meet there tomorrow at 9 o'clock, and Wednesday, 9 o'clock, and Friday at 9 o'clock. And I'm going to make Galen in charge of it. He doesn't know that yet. Don't tell him. So when I'm gone, if he wants to carry it on, he wants to nab the preachers and all, we'll see what he can do. Peter and John get ushered. Not because they want to. They send the big guys. They send the big guys. The big guys with the chains. They chain them up and say, you're going to come with us. And they haul them before the Sanhedrin. And they say, look, what are you doing?
We are Jews. You have no right to disrupt our place, our wonderful temple here. Throw them in prison.
So he threw them in jail. Peter and John are sitting there going, well, that didn't work out very well. Pretty soon in the middle of the night, an angel appears. Bing!
Hey, how you doing? You want to get out of here?
Sure. And the next day, Peter and John are on the Temple Mount. The Sanhedrin sends the people to go get them, to get the cops to go get them out of jail, and they're not there. They're out preaching. Where are those guys? Well, I just saw them over there, just like they were the other day. Bring them back over here. And they said, didn't we tell you to stop preaching in Jesus' name? Well, what do you want us to do? Obey you or God? Key words. So you know what they had them do? They flogged them. Because one wise Sadducee said, look, if this is from God, you're not going to stop it. And so just to add insult to injury, they brought him in, they took Peter and John, and they flogged him. How many would like to be flogged? I can't imagine that. I cannot imagine that. And it is, you know, we would probably whine like a little baby, but you know what Peter and John did when they left? They were rejoicing and singing that they were punished and worthy to suffer for Christ. Do we see that kind of faith today? Right here, baby. Sure. I fully accept to be sheet metal screwed to the cross out front one day. It's okay. You see, we went from laws written down that you're supposed to do this, supposed to do that, don't do this, don't do that. And people couldn't do it too. Not all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and He directs. He shows up all of a sudden in the middle of a jail cell and you get to sing just like Paul did. Paul and Silas are in prison. They're in chains. They're aching. They're hurting. They're chained to the wall. I mean, they're bleeding. They're in pain and agony. And they sing hymns. How can you do that? Because it's not about what you're told to do. It's what the Holy Spirit enables you to do. And I'm so glad that I have Him because you know what? I'm not scared. It's like, praise the Lord. This is great. This is like stealing. And getting away with it. Man. God had ended abruptly what had happened with the Israelites because they didn't do what they said they were going to do. The stone was against them and He took it away from them. And so He birthed a new idea, a whole different idea with the Holy Spirit inside. And He said, now we're going to make a church. And the church is going to the world and preach the gospel and tell them the freedom of Christ and make people free to know Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection. To know for certain that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. That your life matters.
forward 2,000 years to the United States of America, where our founding fathers could have made a national religion. You know, all you people out there saying, you know, you're all upset because they took prayer out of schools, don't let go of that. You don't want prayer in schools. They'll tell your kids how to pray. They'll write them for them. Look, they had the opportunity, but Jefferson with his wives, he says, look, we're a Christian nation. Christian people, our laws are all based on Christ. But if people don't want to follow it, that's okay. We're not going to make them. Because religion that has force behind it gets you the Jews and gets people whipped and slaughtered and beaten, just like in Saudi Arabia. I'm so glad Greg is coming home. A man said, I have to look this up. I don't write a whole lot of notes, but I wrote this because I don't want to forget it. William Sloan Coffin said this: there are three kinds of patriots. Three kinds. Two are good, one is bad. No, two are bad, one is good. I'm sorry. Can't even read my own writing. The first one is an uncritical lover. God bless America. Doesn't matter. America, flag, you know, my country, right or wrong. The second bad one is a loveless critic. Well, all they do is, and you see these people on TV, wah, 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 we're wrong here, we're wrong there. You don't love America. You just, meh, 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 pick, pick, pick. He said, we don't need those two kinds of people. What we need in America is the person who is a critical lover. You know that old saying, as I said, my country, right or wrong? That's like saying my grandma, drunk or sober. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't add to anything. It's my country, right or wrong, when right to be kept right, when wrong to be made right. So I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going on vacation, and I'm not going to lose my attitude. And when I come back, I'm going to keep my happy attitude. But I am going to tell people, look, we have an election coming up. We have school board members who need to be put in place because they've already told us if they're not there, what's going to happen. Your kids can be taken from you. And it will be legal. Nah. Yeah. So, what kind of a Jesus person are you? Are you willing to stand up no matter what? You're going to say, yeah, I see the light. I am free. I am not afraid. I'm joyful in what He has given me. And I'm going to stand up and I'm going to proclaim it. And I'm not telling you that you have to or you're going to burn. I'm just going to tell you the greatest life you could possibly have is the free one that is still here today. Because one day Jesus is coming back and it's all over. But our day is today. It's our corner. Stand up. Stand up. This final song that I have, I've called this song not our independence song, but our pledge to dependence. Because no matter how much we get all riled up and happy and joyful, there's times that things are tough. So I want you to pledge your dependence to Jesus Christ with this song. Sing it with me, all right?
When you're up against a wall and your mountain seems so tall and you realize that life's not always fair, you can run away and hide, let the old man decide. You can change your circumstances with a prayer. When everything falls apart, praise His name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, You're all I need. You're everything to me, and You'll take the pain away. When your hands and say, greater is He that is within me. You can praise the hurt away.
Isn't it nice to know that there's not a thing that can take you out of His hands? Nothing. Nothing you even need to be afraid of here on earth. He's got you. Thank you for coming, Steve. I appreciate it. Vic, would you pray us out of here, man?
Yes, sir. Oh, Lord God, there are so many people that follow false gods. They come in the name of social justice, and yet they deliver riots and chaos and no justice is all. They're just following false gods of their own wills. But we will choose differently. It's true or false, and by our acts, we will choose the truth of your word and reject the falsity of these false gods. And unlike Zephyrus and Ananias, we will not hedge our bets because we know that we owe you everything and we're all in for you, Father God. And no matter what others may do in following these false gods, as for us and our household, we will serve you, Father God, because you sent us Jesus Christ and salvation, and we pray this in His name. Amen.
Amen. I love to watch you. You are so
that is such a great job.